hour moment. Have you ever had a seventh hour moment? You're going to say, what is a seventh hour moment, preacher? Seventh hour moment's when the Lord shows up. The Lord showed up. No man showed up. No preacher showed up. Just God and God alone showed up, and he took care of the problem that was in your life. I don't know about you, but I remember my seventh hour moment. I have several of them, but the greatest one that ever was that day that I was headed to hell. And he reached down. No longer am I going to hell, but I'm going to heaven. Not on nothing I'd done, but on what he done on the cross of Calvary. I didn't start behaving, and then on my way to heaven, I didn't start behaving. I just believed what the Bible said, that Jesus, he is the Son of God. And I believed that, and I applied that to my life, and he saved my soul. And I thank God for that this morning. And I ask you this morning, if you maybe you need a seventh hour moment this morning. Maybe you need one. You ever just been in need and didn't know you was in need? Maybe you need one. John chapter number 4 and verse number 46. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. Seventh hour moment. I won't need these when I get to heaven. Can I get amen? Hey, y'all ain't got to be. It's okay. Put your smiling face on. Hey, power company can't get you in here. They ain't going to repo your car in the parking lot. We got security. We ain't going to let them have it in the parking lot. You've come to worship. You've come to enjoy. Just enjoy. Hey, just sit back, man. Be free this morning. Let the Spirit speak to you. You've been beat up all week long. We ain't going to beat on you this morning. No, we ain't going to do that. We're a loving church. We're a loving church. Preacher ain't going to beat on you. We've got a loving preacher here. We ain't going to beat on you. But now we can't promise you that the Holy Ghost won't wear you out. John chapter number 4 and verse number 46 in the Bible says, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee where he made the water wine. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child or die. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him and went his way. And he was now going down. His servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour to which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. Father, I love you and I thank you. Father, I thank you that there is a seventh hour moment. There is a moment in our life that you can speak and the wind and the seas have to obey you. There's moments in our life that you speak and death has to cease. Lord, there's moments in our life that you speak and all is well. I pray this morning that you would speak to whoever's heart this morning and let them know that they can be in a seven-hour moment if they want to be. Lord, if they've never been there, they can get there this morning. Lord, it won't be what they'll do, but it'll be because of you. Because you're a big God, and you're a great God, and you are the only God. So for the next few moments, I'd ask you to sit down amongst us. I'd pray you would just comfort Brother Jerry's heart this morning, Jerry Gabby's. Wrap your loving arms around him this morning. Whew. Comfort him and his family as his daddy's on the last mile. Lord, I'd pray for Sister Kim as she was in the altar this morning. I'd pray you comfort her and help her as only you can. Lord, I'd pray for the next few moments we don't worry about time, but we worry about you this morning. So you search the heart of every man, woman, boy, or girl in this place. And I ask you to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. I know I'm in over my head. And I ask the Holy Ghost to do the work in this place. And we ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. The 7-hour moment. That moment in your life when you knew that you needed a change and you needed something to happen and you knew there was nothing you could do about it, but in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, you got to the place in your life and you repented and you got to the place where you called on God and God made a difference. Have you ever been there? I'm talking about where God had to step in, and if He didn't step in, there's a lot of things going to go wrong. This morning as we look at the text, we want to look at not the son that was healed. We don't want to look at the one that was healed. We want to look at the nobleman. This morning I want to look at the nobleman and what he did when he come to where Jesus was. The nobleman came to Jesus, and at the 7th hour, he received what he asked for. This morning I ask you a question. Are you needing a 7th hour moment in your life? Are you needing a 7th hour moment in your life today? If so, I say to you, come to Jesus. And I want to look at how the nobleman came to Jesus. So how did he come to Jesus, preacher? Show you four ways how he come to Jesus. Look with me in verse number 47, number one this morning. The nobleman came because he had heard. He came because he had heard. Look what the Bible says. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, the nobleman came because he heard. Somebody had done told him about what Jesus could do. I'd ask you this morning, if you've been in a 7-hour moment this week, why won't you tell somebody what Jesus can do? This man, he got a hearsay. He heard what Jesus could do, and he had heard about the miracle. He had heard that there had been a wedding feast, and they had run out of wine, and they didn't have none. They couldn't go down to the Dollar General or to the local grocery store. They needed somebody to show up. And here he had heard about that miracle that Jesus had performed. And when he heard about that, he heard that Jesus had turned the water into wine, and he knew what kind of miracle that was. But not only did he hear about the miracle that Jesus did, but he heard about the man named Jesus. And somebody had told him, hey, if your son's sick, you can carry him to Jesus. Hey, this morning, can I say to you, that ain't no different than it was in the Bible. This morning, if you're sick or you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, hey, carry it to Jesus this morning. Just carry it to Jesus this morning. He says this morning in the book, he said, and so Jesus came again into Galilee where he had made the water into wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Not only hear about the miracle and the man Jesus, that he was a healer, but he heard about the arrival of Jesus into his town. He realized that Jesus was there amongst him, and he said, if I can get to where Jesus is, things will change. This morning, did you know if you'll hear that Jesus is in the house, things can change in your life? He said, preacher, how do you know that this morning? The Bible says in Romans chapter number 10, in verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing. Hey, this morning, everyone that's a believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there was a moment in their life that they heard what Jesus could do. They heard about that faith. They heard that Jesus not only could turn water into wine, hey, but he could heal a man. He could heal a man not only of his physical disease, but he could heal a man of his spiritual disease. Do you know this morning the greatest need in your life is not the physical need, hey, but it's the spiritual need this morning. This man, he knew that his son was sick. And he was at the point of death, and he needed Jesus to come. Maybe this morning you know there's a situation in your life. Hey, and it's at the point where if he don't step in, it's going to be a tragedy. Can I say this morning when Jesus steps in, it ain't a tragedy, but it's a trial. Amen? He said that he heard about the miracle. He heard about the man named Jesus, and he heard about his arrival. In Romans 10, 17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This man knew that God was God and God alone, and he heard what was going on, and he came to where Jesus was. He came, number one, to get that 7th hour moment because he had heard of what Jesus had done. Hey, but I want to show you something in the word, and here's where I want to get down to business, where God showed me this week. There's one thing about hearing the word of God and moving on it, but it's something else when you realize the shape that you're in. You realize that you're in a shape that you need God and you need God alone. Friends, this morning I would ask you a question. Hey, you've heard about God all of your life. You've heard that God can help you. You heard that God can heal you. You heard all things about God, but I want you to know what changed this man from hearing what Jesus could do. This nobleman man came because he was helpless. You see, he was a ruler. He was a leader in the position. position that he was in. Hey, but he couldn't do nothing about it. His dollars couldn't help him. Hey, the doctors couldn't help him. Hey, I want you to know he had many disappointments, but he came to a place in his life where he knew he needed Jesus. Hey, this morning you may come to a place in your life. Hey, you've tried all the schemes. You've tried all the gimmicks. You've tried everything that you heard would work, and nothing's got any better. Hey, can I say to you this morning, I'm not giving you a hope-so salvation. I'm talking about a no-so. When this man came where Jesus was, he knew that if he could get there in his helpless state, if he could get to that place, that Jesus would change everything. He said the nobleman came because he heard. But number two, in verse number 47, the nobleman came because he was helpless. He done got to a place he was helpless. If any mom or dad in this room, if your kid was sick and you come to that place, you done all you could do, you're going to take them to the doctor. You're going to take them to a place where they can be healed. And this man said, I want you to know, I got to get to where Jesus is. And he said in verse 47, and when he come to him, look what he says, and he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son. Hey, the nobleman came because he was helpless. He personally came to Jesus. He didn't send somebody else to go to Jesus. He went on his own. Can I say to you this morning, it won't never work till you come on your own to Jesus. Hey, I want you to know, you can be excited about somebody else coming to Jesus. You can be excited about somebody turning over a new leaf. Hey, but till it happens in your life and you come to Jesus and he changes things, that's when it gets real. He personally came to Jesus. He didn't send somebody else. He didn't send somebody that was under him to go ask Jesus. You know what he did? He went to Jesus on his own. Hey, this morning I'd ask you a question. When was the last time you had a need and you didn't go to a friend and you didn't go to a brother? Hey, and you didn't go to Facebook? Hey, and you didn't go to all kind of media? Hey, but you turned to God. Hey, you turned to him in that moment. Hey, you turned to him and you said, hey, Lord God, if I'm ever going to get out, it's going to be because you stepped in. If I'm ever going to get free, it's going to be because you stepped in. I realize in my life, whoa, can I get an amen? Hey, I want you to know when I go to Jesus, it's usually when I'm helpless. Hey, I've heard it all my life. Hey, but that don't turn me to Jesus. You know what turns me to Jesus? When I realize I'm helpless and useless and I can't do it on my own and I need Jesus to step in. You said, preacher, when did I go? I went to Jesus. We done all we can do. Our last resort, we might as well pray. Can I say to you this morning, the first thing we ought to do is pray. It ought not be our last resort. It ought to be our first resort. Well, we done all we can do whenever, where. Might as well go to Jesus now. He shouldn't be your last resort. He should be your first resort. Amen? Hey, if we just carry it to Jesus, a lot of things would be better. We'd see that seventh hour moment a whole lot clearer. That nobleman came because he was helpless. He personally came to Jesus. But I see he passionately came to Jesus. Not only personally did he come, but he passionately come. Look what he says here in verse 47. And he went unto him and besought him that he would come down. You know what that word besought means? When he went to Jesus, he was helpless when he went there. He just didn't go to Jesus and say, Jesus, oh, by the way, my son's sick unto death. And if you don't mind, will you come down? I'll see you tomorrow. Oh, no. You know what he did when he went? He said that he passionately went. When he besought him, you know what he did? That means he begged Jesus to come. He said, Lord God, I want you to come. My son is sick and he's at the point of death. And if you don't show up, it ain't going to work. I need you to show up in his life. I need you to show up in my life. I need you. He was helpless. He couldn't do nothing else. And he needed Jesus. I'd ask you this morning, you've heard about Jesus all your life. Have you ever got to a place where you was helpless and you knew if Jesus didn't step in, it was over? Amen. I see the hands. Witnesses all over the house. All over the house. He said he didn't only personally come to Jesus and passionately come to Jesus, but he painfully come to Jesus. He was in pain when he come. He was in pain. He was helpless. You ever been helpless? And as a dad, I'm talking to the daddies for a minute, said he come for his son. Have you ever been helpless? You know what daddy's supposed to do? They're supposed to protect their home, their wife, their children. They're supposed to be the protector. And not only the protector of the home, but they should be the provider of their home. Oh, not only should a daddy be a protector and a provider. Listen up here, daddy, just for a minute. Not only should a daddy be protecting and a provider of the home, but I believe every daddy that's got breath in his lungs, he ought to be the priest of that home. He ought to be the priest of that home. He said, I ain't been called to preach. Oh, you got somebody to preach to, that's your family. Be that priest in there and tell them. But this daddy was helpless. He couldn't do nothing. How painful that'd be when you see your child laying there almost at death and you can't do nothing about it. He said, where'd he go, preacher? He went to Jesus. Oh, look what he said here. He painfully came to Jesus. Look what he said In verse number 47, he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. He said, Lord, he's at the point of death. If you don't step in, we got problems. This morning you may be there and you say, Lord, if you don't step in, we got problems. Folks, this morning, if he does step in, there's still problems. But you know what? It's no longer your problem. It becomes his. Well, I don't know about you, but that excites me. The seventh hour moment when you see things more clearly. Look what he said. The nobleman came, number one, because he heard. But number two, the nobleman came because he was helpless. Wasn't nothing he could do. I'll show you the third thing this morning. The nobleman came because he was hurting. Not only was he helpless, but he was hurting in the situation that he was in. Standing from where I'm at looking out toward you, I can tell you when I stand here, there's been times I've looked out over a congregation and I've seen men and women sit there hurting. Tears flowing down their face. Tears streaming down their face. Doctor report come in that it wasn't what they wanted to hear. Hurting. Hurting. So, preacher, what do you do? I just invite them to Jesus. I have not the words for him, but Jesus does. This man come hurting. Let me show you this in verse number 49. And the nobleman came because he was hurting. Look what he says. 48, let's do 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. He didn't get the answer he wanted right then, did he? Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. Well, before I do anything for God, I'm waiting on him to give me a sign. He don't owe you a sign. He don't owe me a sign. He ain't going to see it. There's one sign you're going to get, and it's hanging on the cross. That was our sign. That he was our substitute. He was what we needed. That's our only sign that we get. Well, how do I know God's real? Because he died on the cross. He died on the cross. He rose again on the third day. That resurrection power. That's how I know he's real. He lives inside of me. And when I get to that place in my life and I've heard all my life that God can heal, what is it that keeps me when I'm in a helpless place and I'm hurting? What keeps me from getting to that place in my life where I kneel down and I say, God, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Man, I don't want to come to church. I want to come to worship, don't you? Man, I don't like church. I like worship. I like to come in and I like to hear a preacher preach. I like to hear songs sung. And I like an invitation time where I can get in that altar and get my life right with God. Friends, I want you to know there should not be no distractions in this place. Oh, when you get to the place that you're helpless and you're hurting, it'll change some things in your life. But what keeps us from not coming out? Pride. 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 Most every man in this room is prideful. Prideful. You don't believe me, you get around a bunch of men working. They were hardly any of these men in this room in here. I know there's some men will lay down, but most of these men in here, they won't lay down. They'll let you work. They'll work you slap in the ground, and they'll say, you need a break? I'm good. I'm good. Your tongue hanging out. I'm good. I got it. You're hurting. You done got helpless, and you're needing a break. But because of your pride, you won't quit. You won't sit down. This man, he was a ruler. He was a nobleman. He was high up. And he come to this place and he said, I can't go no further. I done got to the place where I'm helpless and I'm hurting and I need God. I want to show you two things he admitted and how he got that seventh hour in his life. Folks, this morning I want you to know a man of God or a woman of God that's a child of God that's been born again. They had to get to this place in their life. That they realized they couldn't do it on their own and they needed help. I'll show you this in the book. Oh my goodness. He said the nobleman came because he's hurting in verse number 49. The nobleman said unto him, here it is. The nobleman came because he is hurting. He was in his hurting brought honesty in the nobleman's life. He got honest. First step to recovery is honest that you got a mistake. You got a problem and you need help. Look what he says. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. He said, Lord, it's out of my hands. I need you to come down. There's some of you here this morning said, Lord, I need you to come down in here this morning. I need you to come down. If you don't come down, I'm in trouble. Number one, when the nobleman came because he was hurting, the hurting brought honesty in the nobleman's life. But the second thing, it brought humility in the nobleman's life. The nobleman said unto him, sir. How do you know it brought humility? We're talking about a man that was a ruler and over people. And he reverenced him as sir. No longer was he the top dog. No longer was he the one on the very top. But he realized he was at the mercy of another man, and that man's name was Jesus. And he said, sir, if you don't come to where my son, sir, if you don't come to my situation, sir, if you don't, sir, if there's some of you here this morning say, if God don't, if Jesus don't, I'm in trouble. What'd Jesus tell him? Go get what you deserve? No, he didn't tell him that. What Jesus told him? He says, Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. The nobleman came because he was hurting. The invitation was done given. Matthew 11, 28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The invitation was done given to just to come. That seventh hour moment. Can anybody get in on it, preacher? Anybody can. A lot of people don't get in because they won't humble themselves. They won't get to that place where they say, I've heard the word, and I'm helpless, and I'm hurting, and I need you. This morning, if that was you, I'd say, I'd get in the altar this morning. I'd get to a place. You know, we don't just come to the altar for salvation. We don't. We come to the altar just to pray a lot of times and ask God to move in our life, to help on certain situations. This morning, I'll give you the fourth thing here. Not only the nobleman came because he heard, and he came because he was helpless and he was hurting, but the nobleman received help because he came. Staying where he's at wasn't going to fix nothing. This morning, staying where I'm at is not going to fix nothing. Staying in the mess I'm in is not going to fix nothing. Preacher, what's going to fix it? When I come to where Jesus is. I come to the place where Jesus is. And look what he says in verse number 50. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. The nobleman received help because he believed the word Jesus spoke. Now here's me. When he told me my son was healed, here's what I'd say. You not going with me? You not coming with me? Now I know you just told me, he said, oh, you not going to come alongside me and go with me to where he's at? Do you not need the address to my home or where he's laying? That man didn't say that. That man didn't worry about it no more. He said he believed and he left. He believed God at his word and he left. As I read that this week, I'd be a lot better off in my own life if I just take God at his word and go on. If I just take God at his word and just go on. You know why I don't take God at his word sometimes? You know why we don't take God at his word? We got a little fella in our mind and in our always speaking in our ear called Satan. And he always wants us to doubt what God has told us. When he told him, he said, go, thy son liveth. You know what the man did? He left. He took what he said and he left and he went that way. And at the moment he believed, the seventh hour come alive. That seventh hour would be 1 o'clock. Can you imagine, Brother Garrett? Can you imagine every day at 12 o'clock you stopped to eat lunch and when 1 o'clock hit, every day of your life you would remember that one o'clock, that seventh hour moment. It would be seared in your brain. You'd never forget it. There's been tragedies that's happened in your life, and there's calendar days that you'll never forget. You'll never get over them days, and they'll always be in your mind. But can you imagine when Jesus reached down and he healed this boy the rest of his life, that daddy, you know what he thought at 1 o'clock? He thought about Jesus. He thought about what Jesus did. And I want you to know, I don't know, the Bible don't speak it, but I believe he does. I believe every day at 1 o'clock, he praised him for it. Because the Bible said not only did he believe, but his whole household believed. Every day at 1 o'clock, he would thank God for what he'd done. He would thank God for what he'd done in his life. This morning, he received because he believed. Said he left and went down, and the next day, he met his servants. They told him, said, the fever left. He said, when did the fever leave? The Bible, I believe, says, yesterday at the seventh hour. And he said he knew that was when Jesus said, your son's going to be all right. So, preacher, what made him be all right? Because he didn't second guess. He left when God told him it was going to be all right. There's some of you in here this morning, I just want to speak something to you right here real gently and softly. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Believe it and rest in it. Is pain going to come? Yes. Is hurting going to come? Yes. Is helplessness going to come? Yes. I can say this morning, healing comes as well. Healing comes as well. He said that when he went back home to where his family was, the whole house believed. I believe when he went back home, he told them, didn't he? When somebody gets saved in this place, you know what I tell them? Go tell somebody immediately. Immediately. This week, in closing, I went back to this because it being the seventh hour, the moment that he believed. The moment he believed, it happened. The moment you believe, you're saved. Boy. Man. Yeah, that's what happens. It's not a process. Salvation is instant. When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, you don't have to wait to receive some other gift. I believe and he saves me. I'm saved. And we walk on. This week, we announced to the church Wednesday night that we was going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby. Me and my wife are going to have a baby. Well, she's going to have the baby. I know, but she's the one's going to have the baby. Just not, it just don't show yet, but she's the evidence will come and she's going to have a baby. I went back to this text, Brother Connor, because this. Been praying for about 17 years for a baby. When did I believe it? When did I believe it? I believed it when I asked 17 years ago that God could send that baby. I believed it. We believed he could do it. We didn't doubt him not one skinny minute. We believed he could do it. Why do we believe, preacher, that he could do it? Because I'd heard it all my life. And he could do whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it. This morning you may be dealing with something in your life and you say, preacher, I'm at the point I'm helpless. I can't do it no more. Join the crowd. This morning you're here and you say, I'm hurting and you don't understand how bad I'm hurting on the inside. Join the crowd. You said, I need it. All I can tell you is when you believe that Jesus Christ will do it, he will do it. When you believe that he can do it, don't worry about it no more. Just go on. I want to show you this morning in closing, Mark chapter number 11 and verse number 24. Maybe you're dealing with something this morning. And you say, I've got to have a seventh hour moment now. I can't wait till next week. I can't wait. I got to have it now. You don't know what I deal with in my mind, preacher. Get you a seventh hour moment this morning. Well, you believe it and you leave it in God's hands and you go on. Mark 11, 24. The Bible says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when ye pray. When he come about his son, he had a desire. What was your desire at this morning? Don't let your hurt and your helplessness overcome your helper. Don't get caught up in how bad you're hurting and let it overcome your helper. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. This morning I believe we have not because we ask not. That man's son would have been at the point of death if he would not ask. But he was healed. You know why I didn't stay on the son about the healing? Because there come a day he had to die. Appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. You know why I preached on the nobleman? Because he received salvation. He came wanting to heal him for somebody else, but he received something in his own. He received salvation. How do you know that? Preacher said he believed and his whole household did too. You go to that house and eat Sunday lunch with a problem. Wouldn't be long, you'd walk out shouting. They overcame him. Who? Satan. By the blood of the Lamb. and the word of their testimony. This week, share your testimony with somebody that they can hear how good God's been in your life. Father, I love you and I thank you for this morning. I thank you for these people that's gathered here. Lord God, they're my brothers and my sisters. Lord, I pray this morning, whoever it is right now needs a seventh hour moment in their life. Lord, they've come to the place and they're helpless and they're hurting. They've heard all their life that you can fix problems. You are the way maker. You are the chain breaker. Oh, they've heard that all their life. But now they're faced with a problem in their life that they need help on. Lord, I believe this morning if we come to this altar and we ask you to help us, we beg you to help us. Get down on our knees and ask you to help us. Not nothing in our own power, but we just finally admit we can't do it on our own. And we need you. Lord, I believe you'd reach down from heaven this morning. I've seen you do it in my life many a times. Whoever that is that's carrying a burden this morning, I pray you'd give them a seventh hour moment this morning. Lord, a 1 o'clock moment where things change and it's not the same. Bless this congregation. Bless these people. We'll be careful to give you the honor and the praise and the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' most holy, precious name. Amen.